Hello again, listeners, and welcome to the sixth episode of the 2015 Front Stretch Podcast. I'm Matt Stalnick, and joining me is Mike Neff. We apologize for the delay in this week's episode. We had some minor technical difficulties on the site, and we'll be returning to our normal Tuesday morning slot next week. It was another nail-biter of a race this past Sunday in Watkins Glen, and after yet another exciting race in upstate New York, the big news coming out of the event was actually not Joey Logano's win, which was a fuel mileage battle with Kevin Harvick, in which Logano passed Harvick in the last turn of the final lap in very exciting fashion, but rather it was that NASCAR may actually run the boot at next year's race. So, Mike, first off, your thoughts, quick thoughts on Watkins Glen, but most importantly, what do you think of this news that NASCAR might be running the boot? That's kind of been leading a lot of the news cycles this week. And
absolutely. Yeah. The race itself, I gave it four beers in the weekly column primarily because of the excitement of the strategy playing out at the finish. Had they not had that whole fuel mileage deal, and for the second week in a row, NASCAR letting it run its course and not throw a questionable caution, I give them thumbs up for that. But had it not been for that, I think it would have been a three-beer race. I think it's primarily because of the engine package that we're running. The tapered spacer just doesn't give you the acceleration off of the corner that you need to get runs and make passes like you should at that course. And as a result, I haven't looked at loop data statistics, but I know the just general passing for the lead was almost non-existent. And passing in general, I felt like wasn't very good. So the race was okay. I didn't think it was bad. I didn't think it was great. As short track as road courses have become, it might have been a little less than average in the last few years. But excited about the boot. I've been screaming for the boot for the last 5 or 6 years. The sports car clubs still run it. And the touring, I'm trying to remember the name of the touring series that runs it. But now that they're actually going to repave, NASCAR is actually decided they're going to talk about it. They say it won't be next year, which I don't know why it wouldn't be, but it may be the following year. I don't know why we haven't been running it for a while. I understood initially the Cup guys weren't road racers, and it was a lot more technical, and it was going to be a greater challenge, I think. But in the last 5 to 8 years, the talent level has gotten so good on road courses in the Cup Series, there's no reason for us not to run it. Primarily, the advantage is it's going to give us two, maybe three more passing zones. And I think the more passing zones we can add to the road courses, the better.
Mike, I'm going to have to disagree with you this week. I was actually at the race on Sunday. I ended up going at the last minute and sat in the S's. And I got to be honest with you, it was one of the more exciting races from start to finish at Watkins Glen. And I've been going pretty much every year since 2007. And I actually sat at a different part of the track last year, so it's a little bit kind of hard for me to judge. It was definitely better than 2013, I can tell you that. And this obviously being, you know, the actual racing product from start to finish, I personally saw more passing. And what was I think really interesting, and I don't really know how well this showed on TV, but for I would say the last like half of the race, there was literally like a 6 to 7 car pack at the front of the field that literally stuck together. And there was some passing in that group, but it was really unusual and pretty exciting to see that it was like this 6 to 7 car group that just couldn't get away from each other. And kind of an unusual sight, but overall I thought it was a pretty solid race from the grandstand. I don't know what TV did. It's been hard to pass at the Glen since the Gen 6 came in. Now the thing with the Glen is that it's hard for people to break away, so it's led to some close racing still. But passing has definitely still been harder, so it's kind of a trade-off. Specifically at the Glen with the Gen 6 and the higher downforce, and now with a little smaller, that lesser engine package in terms of horsepower, the field stays a little bit closer together, and it leads to some close racing that way. But you don't see as much of the outright passing as you did. So I don't know, maybe if you can get somewhere in the middle. Overall, it's not a huge issue with the Glen just because of, you know, because we've seen how exciting the racing still remains here, even with the Gen 6 package. But like I said, from the stands, it was a pretty good show, I thought. One of the better races of the year, and then we got a good finish to top it off. So, like I said, it's one of those tracks I think would probably benefit from a little bit lower downforce, but it's not too far away from being a really solid package. As far as the boot is concerned, I am actually not a fan of that move. I think, personally, like I said, and this is coming from someone who goes to the Glen each and every year, part of the allure of that particular track and part of the appeal of that track, and this goes in almost any series, is that Watkins Glen is such a simple road course. And the simplicity and the speed of Watkins Glen is what makes it so exciting in my mind. It's almost like an oval, or really a road course that wants to be an oval. And I love that character of that track. And I feel like with the boot, I don't know, man. It feels like it's kind of taken away from it. It wouldn't take away from it too bad because the boot's actually a fairly high-speed section in its own right. And I don't think I would mind if they ran the boot. It wouldn't be like a deal-breaker for me. I wouldn't like stop going and, you know, stop supporting the track or anything like that. But I just, as a fan of that track and as someone who supports it each and every year and for as good as the racing has been there the past couple of years, and I, like I said, at the track, I know maybe TV didn't show a ton of passing, but there really was a really good race, I thought, the past really half decade to a full decade. And it's been one of the most consistent tracks on the circuit and put on some of the best shows that the circuit has seen. I personally think it's in the top three. Some years it's put on the best show, 2012 and 2014 come to mind. But even this year I thought it was a top three race. So, A, you're messing with something that works. I know NASCAR loves to do that anyway, but they're messing with something that works right now. And I just don't think that making the Glen technical is what you need. To me, you know what this reminds me of? It actually reminds me of Bristol. You know, we can make it even better. But the problem is that it was already pretty good to begin with.
But does it make it more technical? I mean, it's not like it's multiple hairpins or something. I mean, even the toe of the boot is a relatively open hairpin. I don't feel like it's, you know, like the S's at Sonoma. If you mess the S's up at Sonoma, you almost kill your entire lap. You mess the S's up at the Glen, it hurts you till you get to the bus stop, but from there on you're fine. I just don't feel like it's gonna make it that much more technical, and I think it's gonna give you at least a couple more decent chances to pass.
I mean, if they cut the bus stop out, I would be okay with adding the boot, to be honest with you. Probably not the most popular opinion either.
I say the problem with that is JD McDuffie. I mean,
yeah, I know.
That's the whole reason it's there, and that's going to be the problem. But they might, you know, again, we've got drivers that are more talented. We've got cars that are far safer, and it may be worthwhile to take the bus stop out of it at that point if they run the boot. I guess we'll see.
I don't know. I mean, another issue I have with the boot is, and like I said, we really haven't seen a stock car race there, and I don't think ever. I don't think any, other than Tony Stewart doing his little demonstration run with Lewis Hamilton a couple of years back, we really haven't seen stock cars go through that part of the racetrack. So, I don't know. Just from games that I've played and then watching sports car races and stuff, I feel like what you'd be doing is you're taking one really good passing zone, which is turn 10, and you're basically dividing it into two okay passing zones, which would be, oh God, what would that be on the boot? Probably, I think, what, 6 and 7? Yeah, I think it'd be like
okay, is there 6 or 7 or 8? 7 or 8.
7 or 8, something like that. So, I don't know. Not a deal breaker. It still keeps the track fairly high speed, but I just feel like part of the Glen's character, as we've kind of grown to know it. I know the sports car series run the boot, and that's part of, you know, the Glen's experience. But for NASCAR specifically, running the classic version of the course, which is the one that cuts the boot out, has always been kind of a good thing to add to that. This is like a road course that races like an oval kind of aspect of it. And that's one reason I like it more than Sonoma. So, I don't know. I'd like to see a practice or a test there or something first just to kind of get a sense of what the racing will be like. And then maybe go from there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that you kind of wish NASCAR would do it. and I don't know that they would, but just do a wildcat race, for lack of a better term. Tell everybody, hey, and it, you couldn't really do, the problem is that the weather's so bad, you couldn't do it outside the season. But let's say whenever we do the first break in the schedule next year, right before Easter or at Easter, say, hey, we're going to run a race at Watkins Glen that's no points, and every team that wants to race it throws in 50 grand and it's winner take all, and we're going to run to boot. And have them go up and actually legitimately run a race using the boot and then decide from there if you like it or don't like it. It would be cool to see them do something like that, but they'd never do it because there's 800 different reasons. They wouldn't get TV revenue and there's all sorts of other junk that would go on. But it would just be cool to see them do that and say, hey, let's just go up here and run for fun. You know, everybody pitch in some money so that it's got something to race for and see what happens out of it. But like I said, they'd never do it.
Well, I think another reason why people want to mess with the Glen is simply because there's such a push now for more road courses and everyone wants to make every road course technical, it seems like. And like I said, I think if you talk to a lot of people that, that go to the Glen, part of the allure is that the simplicity of it. So I think a better move would be keep the Glen as it is, get, you know, do the repave, do everything you need to do there to get the track up in good shape. And then, for God's sakes, let's get Montreal or Road America or something. It really is a shame that Montreal is not on the circuit. That's a great circuit for stock cars, I think. And
I think in Road America, I think is Watkins Glen on steroids.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree.
Still, there's really not a lot on that course that's that technical either, and it really suits itself well for stock car racing.
Absolutely,
so, yeah, I'm with you on that. I would love to see a Cup race at Road America. Montreal, that's one of those things. I agree that Montreal is a great course and I would like to see it if they're going to do it as a road course, but there's still so many tracks in America I would like to see us racing at before we go outside of America. So that's a whole different angle on that. But yeah, I agree. If Montreal would be a great course for stock cars, even if they, and again, it's probably blasphemous, but take them away from Sonoma and give that race to Montreal.
I would personally, I like Sonoma. It's not a bad track, but I think NASCAR-style road racing is simply more exciting on a place where the cars can open up a little bit and there's a little bit heavier braking zones. Sonoma is just so low speed, and sometimes the races there are kind of cluster you-know-whats, for a lack of a better term.
Yep.
You do get some tire wear there, which is really nice, but you know, if we lost Sonoma, I wouldn't be as upset as long as it was replaced by a really solid road course. I would love to see him go to Road America. Montreal, NASCAR came very close a few years back, as I'm sure you know, to having the Cup Series go to Montreal. Montreal basically said, hey, once the Nationwide Series didn't get renewed, they said, we want a Cup race. And NASCAR said, sorry, there's no room at the inn for you. And I personally think that's a pretty terrible move on NASCAR's part, but you know, that's a story for the other day.
Yep, I agree.
It's kind of a shame, but I do think that Road America, at the very least, will end up on the Cup schedule at some point in the next 5 years.
I hope so.
I think it's going to happen at some point. But getting away from road course racing a little bit, we are now looking ahead to Michigan. And once again, we're going to see the return of the high drag package this weekend. There is a little bit more optimism heading into this week than there was heading into Indianapolis. For anyone that forgets, the high drag package is basically a bigger spoiler, bigger radiator pan, all in hopes of creating a bigger draft on the straightaways in order to create some pack racing and slingshots kind of stuff like we saw in Michigan back in the 80s. Your thoughts on what you're going to see this weekend and kind of an outlook for what you think is going to happen?
It depends on who you're talking to. I'm looking forward to my Tech Talk article with Tony Gibson to find out his angle on it. I know he was one of those who was very pessimistic going into Indianapolis. I am of the opinion that we're going to see a glorified plate race at Michigan because with this package, there's a decent chance that they're going to be able to go quite a few laps without lifting. And that basically gets you to a plate race. Other people I've talked to just this weekend that are savvy in the way cars work and the way the cup race will play out seem to think it's going to be a single file parade with no passing whatsoever. So I hope that I'm on the right and they're in the wrong, because I feel like with all the different grooves that you can run at Michigan, there should be options to get out away from people and actually use this slingshot that they set this package up for. And I feel like going through the corners, that was the problem at Indy. If you got to the corner and you hadn't made the pass, there was so much turbulence behind the other car that you had to back off to make the corner, and that killed your whole effort for two or three laps to get back to the guy and try and make that pass again. I feel like at Michigan, with the expanse of the racetrack and the grooves that you can run, guys are going to be able to get that kind of a slingshot type draft coming up from behind somebody and then actually get out from behind them and still maintain that momentum, yet be able to make the corners. So that's why I'm optimistic. I think it's going to be a great deal. A lot of guys that are actually in the know in the cup side didn't seem to think that this weekend when I was talking to them. So I don't know. Like I said, I feel optimistic. I've talked to some people that felt optimistic, but a lot of others who think it's going to be a parade.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a similar mix. Just this past couple of days, some of the press releases for the weekend are coming out about, you know, driver outlooks and stuff like that. David Reagan said in his PR release this week that he thinks it's going to be basically a glorified restrictor plate race, like you said. Big drafting. He actually likened it to like a 90s kind of plate race where, you know, handling would be a big deal, but you still get like mini packs, so to speak. Brad Keselowski didn't seem quite as optimistic. Some of the other drivers, it's very much a mix across the board, and that's kind of how it's been. Steve O'Donnell came over the radio, I think he was on Sirius a couple days ago, and basically NASCAR's perspective was that this package was actually designed for Michigan, and then, you know, it got carried over to Indianapolis, so they're optimistic that this is going to work out for Michigan. And then if it actually does work out here at Michigan, it's going to get carried over to at least Auto Club and probably Pocono next year too. Don't really agree with the Pocono decision, but
yeah,
we'll see. Auto Club, I think this package would actually probably work splendidly well there, simply because there's about 8 different grooves you can use, but that's kind of a story for a different day. My personal opinion, I guess I'm sort of where you are on this. Everything that I know about racing would tell me that a package of this design should, in theory, lead to a pack-style race simply because of the amount of downforce that's going to be created and the amount of drag that will be on the car. If you take a look at the way the trucks have raced here the last couple of years, in terms of like drag levels, the trucks are pretty similar. And the cup cars are now don't have as much horsepower, so it may be close to that. And the trucks, Mike, I'm sure you are going to agree with me on this. The trucks, the past about 2 years, the first year it wasn't quite as much because the track was just so slippery being repaved. But now that the tracks weathered in a little bit, the trucks race is a complete super speedway race for all intents and purposes. It is a handling-oriented super speedway race, which is great, and it's a great show. Brad Keselowski actually said this week, in addition to his comments, that he thinks that the truck race at Michigan is actually one of the best races of the year, and I would happen to agree with him. So using that logic, I just can't see why it wouldn't be like that. But that was my prevailing thought back when the Gen 6 was first made and they went with the higher downforce package. There were some aspects of it that made sense to me. And it didn't end up working out the way that I actually thought it did. So a lot of times, those of us sitting at home, you know, we think we have something figured out, but it's obviously a lot more complicated than we think. And the truth of the matter is we're just going to have to wait until Sunday. And I know what they want. I know what they're going for. The only thing I can think of is that the speeds might still be a bit too high. That's the only thing I can think of that would prevent this package from working as designed at Michigan. because I can't think of any other reason why that much drag on the car wouldn't produce packs. It actually doesn't make any sense to me, even like mini packs, because even with that much turbulent air, it just doesn't seem like that would happen. But we're just gonna have to find out. So I do know one thing, and Lee Spencer mentioned this in a motorsport.com report about a week and a half ago. And if this package doesn't work, I would not expect the high drag package to get shelved as far as Michigan goes. NASCAR wants to make Michigan an ad auto club into pack racing, and I don't think they're going to stop until they get it. As for the other tracks, they basically said this week that they're going to go low downforce everywhere in 2016, which I'm sure everyone's very excited about. But they want to make Michigan an auto club into, you know, plate-style races. And I think what's going to happen is, if this high drag package doesn't work out this week, you're going to see a restrictor plate plus the high drag package next year at Michigan Auto Club. I think that's what's going to happen. Probably wouldn't lead to too bad of a race at Auto Club. Not sure how it would work at Michigan. You know, we'll see. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Actually, I know what your thoughts are going to be on that, but I'm just excited to hear them.
Yeah, I'm with you on the speed thing. That's the only thing I feel like would hurt it, or cause them to pull back away from it a little bit in some way. But God, I don't want to see plates. I mean, we've gone down this road before, that they were a Band-Aid when they were put in that still hasn't come off of the scab 30 some years later. So I feel like I'm with you. I feel like what they want is Talladega and Daytona from the 70s is what they're trying to get to. And again, I still argue, if you take the front air dam off of these things below the front bumper, and I know it sounds crazy, but throw that thing on top of them like they have on the Frank Kimmel street stocks. You put that big billboard of a wicker on top of the car, I guarantee you would be able to have racing like you did in the 70s at the super speedways without going to plates.
I'd like that too.
It's just a terrible idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny you say that. I was actually watching the, do you remember when the Craftsman Truck Series back in like 2000, 2001 ran at Daytona and they didn't run restrictor plates?
Yes, I do.
Remember how great those races were?
They were phenomenal.
They were phenomenal. And it's so funny.
And then Jeff Bodine about died.
Well, they actually kept it, I think, for the next year or two after it. I know 2001 was a non-restrictor plate race. And it's a very subtle, you'll probably agree, it's a very subtle difference between plate and not a plate. It's subtle, but it makes a...
For the trucks, yeah.
It's a subtle difference, but it really does make a... That little bit of difference in the racing makes such a big deal in terms of being able to get off the throttle, being able to really pull out a line and make a pass. The trucks were handling, you know, back then you really needed to make sure you get your cars handling. I wouldn't want to see a restrictor plate either, but I'm pretty sure that that's what would happen. That being said, if you put a big enough plate on, which means a big one that has a big enough hole in it, I probably would still prefer a pack style race, even with a plate at Michigan, as to what we had there in June, which is where no one could pass at all and they're spread out. At least with a plate on at Michigan, you're probably going to get some passing and drafting and all that kind of good stuff. At the obvious expense of having to use a plate. It's kind of a no-win situation there either. But, man, if they can just – I'm rooting for this high drag package this weekend or some variant of it going forward, because I think that their hearts are in the right place, specifically at Michigan in Auto Club. Really, this package doesn't belong anywhere else for the time being until they can find out something more futuristic or better to make drafting a factor out of the places. I think that's years ahead of us before that's possible. But – at Michigan and Auto Club, I think that it's a good pursuit. I think it makes sense, but I think no one really wants to see restrictor plates have to be used. And I want this package to work simply because there's a lot of people out there that, you know, they don't like pack racing because of the restrictor plates. But if they could see an actual pack race occur without plates and without some of the things that hold pack racing back right now at Daytona and Talladega, it would kind of change the perception of that style of racing. And I have a lot of big hopes for Michigan. So I'm very excited to see how it plays out. I'm kind of cautiously optimistic, but we'll have to see.
I agree. That's the way I am too. I'm cautiously optimistic. I think the potential's there for this to be a really exciting race where there is strategy from behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that we have missed for a very long time in the sport. And I think it would be great to see, I mean, for lack of a better term, Daytona in 79 or 76 for that matter, where you had guys that would intentionally stay in second place and wait till the end to make their move and kind of play that mind game out. I think that will be fantastic if we can get back to that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you see it sometimes at Daytona and Talladega. I mean, you get certain packages or certain times, you know, when the weather conditions line up just right at Daytona and Talladega, where you get just this perfect set of conditions, even with the plates, where you still get that really good super speedway racing. But man, it's 2010 would be one of the rare years where it really, I thought, worked out. I don't know how well you remember that year. It was the last year before the repave, but the racing was insane at Daytona that year. But it's sporadic, and the last time that we had it really consistently, obviously, was the early 80s. And
yep,
man, it would change the face of, I think, the whole sport if this high drag package ended up working out, because there's so many implications to it, because you could end up converting that over to Daytona and Talladega and maybe take the play. There's so much good that could come out of this that everyone is forgetting about because, you know, they're kind of stuck on the low downforce thing. But there's a reason why this package is in place, and I'm personally very hopeful that it works out. So
we'll see.
We'll have to see. But we'll leave you with that, folks. Very exciting race, hopefully, on tap for this weekend. Mike, any final thoughts before we sign off here?
My only final thought is, and something we didn't talk about at all, is the whole wrongful death thing with the Ward family and Tony Stewart. And I just, I'm so frustrated with the whole deal. Because, and I think we've mentioned this on here before, that I know Tony, I mean, we're acquaintances. I wouldn't call him my friend. It's not like he's going to have me over to his house for dinner or something. But I've been around him long enough to see what he does for people and how he helps with people that have had loss and tragedy and things that have happened in their lives and the things that he does for drivers to avoid that. And just knowing that, if the Wards had played this thing right and actually reached out to Tony, and a year ago I understood it, that it was too hard to do. You were hurting from the loss of a loved one. But a year later, if they had taken the time to reach out to Tony and kind of work through this thing together, I promise you Tony would do anything for that family. And I promise you that this is still eating at him. But it's to a point now where they're almost rubbing salt in the wound rather than letting it heal. And I feel bad for them, because I've at least heard some things from some sources that are probably going to come out now, that the people in the county up there had tried to keep quiet in respect to Kevin Ward, because of some things that were going to not shed a very nice light on him.
Yeah, I think I know.
And now that they're trying to bring this out, I think some stuff's going to come out that's really not going to look good. And it frustrates me, because I think Tony would have really taken care of that family, and it could have been a really great story from a very bad tragedy. And I think now it's going to just be a really gross culmination of something that would have been nice to just have go away.
Yeah, it's really a shame how this whole thing has kind of been handled and how it unfolded. I get why, you know, it's easy to understand why, you know, the family reacts the way they have. There's really no right or wrong way to react to something like that happening in your life, but or to a loved one. But man, you're right. When you start playing in the mud,
You're going to get dirty.
You're going to get real dirty, and everyone who plays in the mud is going to get dirty. And like I said, I've never met Tony Stewart. I've only heard things from people. And I've really heard nothing but as long as you get him in the right mood.
Sure.
As long as you get him in the right mood in the right context, Tony can be literally one of the nicest people on the face of the planet, from what I understand. So if they, like I said, yeah, if they would have handled it right, I would have to agree. I think Tony would have taken care of him. But I know a lot of, I mean, I live in Central New York. I live only about, hour and a half away from Canandaigua. So I know a lot of people in the dirt racing community up here. I hear a lot of these stories, and like I said, I'll keep my lips sealed as to what some of this information is, but I know a lot of that stuff you were just talking about Mr. Ward, and it won't be pretty if that all starts coming to light here with lawyers and stuff. So I'm hoping for the best, for the situation goes away quietly.
Me too.
But on that note, we'll leave you there, folks. Like I said, Pure Michigan 400 this Sunday at 2:30 on NBCSN. We'll be back next Tuesday morning. Hopefully we'll get all of our technical issues straightened out by then. We plan to have everything fixed up and ready to go. Myself and Mr. Neff and a guest who will for now remain unnamed will be returning next Tuesday. So we'll see you guys then for the 7th episode of the 2015 podcast. So for Mike Neff, I am Matt Stalnick signing off. Take it easy, guys.
Peace out.